In a world where you need audio heroes, several nerds will come together to fight for nerdkind. It's time for nerds to step up and unite. It's time for Crisis on Infinite Podcast.
Welcome back to the nerdy news you need to know throughout the week on iHeartRadio and podcast services around the world, because my name's Hoodie.
And I'm Kevin.
And you're officially listening to this first of many spooky Halloween episodes. What, Kevin?
Crisis
on
Infinite
Podcast.
My wife listens to that podcast every morning, by the way.
Which podcast?
Unsolved Mysteries. I don't know what network.
That's a podcast?
It's on,
I thought it was just a TV show.
It's a podcast, and she listens to it every morning. I have no idea why. Like, how do you start your day with murder mysteries?
Well, that's the thing. I finished Only Murders in the Building, and I'm kind of like, I want to do a murder mystery podcast, but I'm like, I don't want to put the effort into going and hunting down a killer and doing all that stuff.
I just makes me sad. Like, a lot of times the podcast ends and he's still around. I'm like, no, that's scary. He's in the same world. He could be in Dunkin' Donuts with me.
He's at the county jail right now. But we got a jam-packed episode for you. Not only are we narrowing down to our fearsome four of our Halloween bracket at the end of this podcast, but you might have noticed, why is this podcast late? Well, there's a reason. We'll get to that pretty much first thing after what you're watching, what you're playing. Talking about that GTA trilogy that coming out in literally like 2 weeks from now that you probably want to get for the holidays, a Hulk movie happening, and an iconic character pretty much just getting a redo on everything. That's going to be great in the Ahsoka series.
We all can use a redo button, just in general.
You know, that's just a new phase of life. After your post-midlife crisis, you're like, all right, it's new me, new you. Or no, new year, new me. But this time it's a new era, new character. We won't say who yet. That's a spoiler.
There's quarter-life crisis at 25, there's your mid-30s crisis. Oh my God, life is happening. So I don't know what the 40 crisis is going to be like. That's going to be crazy.
Well, we don't like to think about that. But what we do like to think about is you following us at @infinite_pods on the Instagram or the Twitters. It's where we've had our Halloween voting pretty much this entire month. And we've had hundreds of votes. Pretty dope. We're in the final four of that. Things getting heated because we're in like the serious contention now. It's the movies you save until Halloween to watch right before Halloween.
Halloween, I can do that there. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. Like, it was Halloween, then it was Halloween. Now just Halloween. And then you do Halloween month, I guess. But that's kind of, I mean, that's what Party City and Spirit Halloween like to think.
Now, tease it here, because there was a spoiler this week. I didn't think it hit this through, but it made it through.
A spoiler of what?
Not a spoiler, but more like a, I guess, an underdog.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was like, that's not a spoiler. We know who the results are. You can go to @infinite_pods. Or you can go to hot995.com/thecrisiscrew, Kev, right?
Yes, for all your blogging needs, Mr. Hoodie over there works diligently while he's doing other things. He literally has like 17 hands. When you see him come out of his back, it's crazy.
He's
but
like, what
he does a lot of
hell?
Things.
Where'd that come from? That's scary in itself.
Spooky Halloween.
Spooky. But Kev, did you get your Halloween costume this week already?
No, I got a lot of things going on personally right now. Not bad. Just a lot of, I'm spinning a lot of plates. So I think Halloween may just be me putting on my Black Panther mask again and walking around with my daughter.
All right.
I don't think I'm doing anything more than that.
Do you have a Black Panther t-shirt or anything like that?
Yes. I could also be a Blore, which is Black Thor. I have the Mjolnir and Stormbreaker, so that'd be cool too.
We get you a blonde wig. You're good to go.
I might have to get like an extended beard too that goes all the way down my chest.
And you dye your eyebrows blonde. They're just like Thor from the first one.
Or I could make a small figure of myself. I can be Ant-Man, and I can send my daughter out trick-or-treating with her mother and say, that's me. I'm with her that small, and I stay home and just
play.
That
is a good idea. That is a lazy dad idea to do that, though.
Lazy dads are fun.
Oh, you know what? You just come find me. I'll give you the Funko Pop and then you're of yourself that Aaron Banks made, and there you go.
Good point. I should do that.
There you go. All right. We found that out. That's dope. Obviously, we'll be hearing all about Kevin's tales of being a parent during Halloween, and myself just being a hood rat going out for Halloween. That's going to be fun. That'll be next week once we survive Halloween.
You guys know one of those Ghostbusters, right?
Yes, going as Ghostbusters. It's going to be dope. All three of us have our suits now. Got to do some hemming on the Party City costume because the legs are a little long, really long on the legs. So I'm not going to be that child that has super long pants at the gym.
Can you hem, or that's something that you have to take to somebody's mother?
I think you can. I mean, Maura has a sewing machine, so we're about to see if she can hem.
We're going to figure it out.
But something we don't need to figure out is what you're watching and what you're playing. We start every podcast on Mondays and Thursdays with the things we've been watching and playing throughout the week to let you know, hey, these are worth your time or not worth your time at all. And because Monday, we're talking about the things and shows we watched over the weekend. And Kev, you get to go first.
So I, over the weekend, I sat down and I watched Dune.
Yeah. All three. How long is it? 3 hours, right?
2.5.
Okay. Okay. Pretty much. Yeah.
2.5 hours. I think the credits started like 2:26.
Okay. Cool. 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 Cool.
It's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I thought that because Dune's a very dense book. Like, mm-hmm. You ever see the book in the bookstore? There's literally a dictionary in the back of it for everything that this book is talking about.
Oh, that's dope.
I know. But other than that, the story is laid out pretty well. If I had to, it's basically Game of Thrones with Star Wars and Timothy Chalamet is Luke Skywalker / Neo.
Oh, okay. So this is like, you didn't watch the original one, right?
Nah, there was the original one in the 70s and there was a TV show as well, but I didn't watch either one of those.
Okay, so you were new to this and everything. Obviously you watched it on TV. Did you understand what was going on?
Honestly, it was like a long episode of Game of Thrones. The way like all the plot details were spelled out to you about this world and the different houses, House Atreides and House, I can't pronounce the word that the other people are, the people that Batista's people are. The way they kind of delved it out to you, it wasn't thick and like, what the heck? It wasn't like Blade Runner where it's like, what the heck? This is good. It looks amazing, but what the heck is going on? It wasn't like that at all. It was actually, okay, I get why this is so important.
Well, it was, and it's also directed by the same director, Denis Villeneuve. It kind of had its cinematic moments or like, we're going to make it introspective and make you think about things?
It didn't really, it had a little bit about that because it's very based on like the whole culture in this movie is very based on like religious stuff and, you know, political things, political turmoil. That's why I say it's kind of like Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But nothing was like, you know, heavy, heavy, heavy science fiction where you just kind of like, okay, I'm bored.
Yeah. So now, you compared it to Star Wars and Game of Thrones, what did you say it leans more toward? Being a Star Wars? Because the trailers obviously make it look like Star Wars and trying to make it look like action and everything. Or is it Game of Thrones, where it's a lot of like, you need to know these law of the lands that'll pay off eventually?
It's more Game of Thrones.
Okay.
You can see where George Lucas took from Dune to make a lot of the different things. Like, for example, it's not really a spoiler. The thing they're mining in this game is spice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you're out in the spice too long without a mask on, you hallucinate, but then you can hear these voices, but some people actually can control it. Basically the force. But past that, I feel it's more Game of Thrones because everything is about certain houses and what they do. For Game of Thrones, for example, they got, I think Winterfell was where they got most of like the wood and the livestock from for King's Landing. Mm. Whereas, I can't remember the name of the house, but the Dorns, where they got like a lot of the wine from. Stuff like that.
So, yeah, because it is definitely like, because I haven't seen it yet because I didn't have time, really went to a wedding this weekend. Sound a lot like Game of Thrones. Congrats, EB. Would you have liked this better as a sequel? Because it is getting a sequel, right?
It hasn't been approved, I guess, greenlit yet, but it should because this actually only takes, that's one thing I'll say. This movie doesn't give you a satisfying, and now they live happily ever after.
Okay.
It's only like the first half of the book.
Oh, so definitely it's going to get a sequel. Because I've heard the rumor is Zendaya's only in it for like 7 minutes, too.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Zendaya is more or less the narrator in the beginning. Then there are flashbacks / visions of her in it throughout the movie. You don't see her till the very end actually being her character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting the way they did it because basically, like I said, the movie only takes place over half the book. Basically, scenes from it, we'll probably see in the second one and the third one are happening in these little visions and flashbacks of Timothy Chalamet character becoming this great warrior.
Now the worm thing, because you've seen it in the trailer, it's kind of its big standalone, this is Dune. What is the worm thing in sort of a non-spoiler criteria, I guess?
Don't the Tusken Raiders worship the Krayt Dragon?
And they have banthas, sort of.
It's kind of like that. So the worm is basically revered as a benevolent like being, and this certain race that lives on this planet, like, I think a Akarat, something with an A, I can't remember the name of the planet was. They know how to basically walk on the sand without awakening him.
Okay.
So they see him as a they basically worship him.
Okay.
He has a name like it's like Shin Lyo or something like that.
Okay. I feel like I'm gonna really need to have to watch this movie twice to be like, okay, I get what's going on now.
It's not that bad as watching like for example, I still haven't watched Tenet, but everybody said you need to watch Tenet like 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's as bad as you need to watch it twice, but if you watch it at home, if you want to take a break, I can totally understand why. Take a break. There's a lot of dense, heavy dialogue, things that's telling you about this world, and even the action scenes are great, but they're very like I want to say. They're very long, drawn out, but not in a way that's annoying. It's like the tension just keeps building and building, and then there's a resolution. It's like, oh, they're okay.
Now, would you have rather watched this in theaters, or are you okay that you watched it at home? Because this has been the one movie that's been the big debate on theaters or streaming.
If I only had one job, I would watch this in the theaters. This has been great in the theaters, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can probably, when the second part comes out, you just do a back-to-back screening of both parts.
Exactly. But I will say, because, like I said, the movie is very dense story-wise, I think the tone of this movie is going to be similar to Eternals, just with a little more of a Marvel flair.
Okay.
So I'm very excited about Eternals. This movie made me more excited to see Eternals, basically.
There you go. I mean, that's the only thing you could ask for, is to make you excited to see more movies.
Yeah. And then after that, Dune, I watched this other show on Netflix called, what's it called? Hold on. I got to look at my viewing history on Netflix. I forgot what it was called. Inside Job.
Have you seen this trailer? The new animated series, yeah.
It's pretty funny, actually. It's basically about Secret Society actually controls all the narratives. Like, there's somebody that leaks out celebrity nudes. Mm-hmm. There's a department that is building a robot president because he's getting unruly. Like, it's pretty funny. If you like Rick and Morty, look up Inside Job on Netflix. It's pretty funny.
Okay, yeah, because I saw the trailer. It came out when Netflix had its done presentation or whatever it was. They advertised it, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, might watch that later. So excited. I get to watch Dune in that in the future.
It's pretty good. I mean, it's definitely a good background show, but it's still really funny.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, buddy? What you been watching this week?
Yeah, so for me, we finished Ted Lasso season 2. I won't spoil anything, but I'm like, I see. I enjoyed it. But the character decision that happened, I was like, I see.
You know who you are. You deserve to get punched in the face.
We're not going to spoil that for you. You get like a couple more weeks to not get spoilers. Haven't started this, but I'm excited because I added it to the Quayway on HBO Max. All of Teen Titans Go's episodes up till like the current season are now on HBO Max finally, instead of being on Hulu. Excited to tap into that because that's just going to be a great background thing to have, and just like, oh, look at the DC reference. Because say what you will about Teen Titans Go and original Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go is a great fourth wall show that just breaks everything with DC.
Teen Titans is the OG of Toonami, baby.
Exactly. Oh, and the funny thing is, Teen Titans Go, they just had an episode. I woke up early on Saturday, and because it was Wonder Woman's 80th birthday, they had a Wonder Woman episode. They literally had DC, the building, take on the competition building, and the competition building was red, used an electric hammer, had rocket boosters, had spider powers. I was like, this is so dope they can get away with this.
I was walking into the grocery store like 2 weeks ago, and I saw, I guess they were a couple. It was a cosplay couple. One was Captain America, one was Wonder Woman. It was pretty cool.
They're like, yeah, we just coexist. We like being our own things.
I was like, Captain, Princess.
hello. And then the other thing I've been watching is, I've seen this on TikTok a lot, like sort of clips of movies. Sometimes you're like, oh, I've never seen that, or I have seen it. Finally pulled trigger and decided, made more. Watch it. We watched Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Kevin, have you seen that?
Never seen that, but it's been on like in kids' rooms when I'm walking around people's house during holidays.
Yeah, it's really weird because like it's low-key kind of like scary. It's weird scary. It's especially for children because like a children's movie. It was pretty good. It's definitely a good like we want to switch things up for Halloween and watch something. It's on Disney Plus. We found out
it's on Disney Plus. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. It's got Asa Butterfield, who you might know from Sex Education or from Ender's Game, I guess, which was the first start of his career.
He was a finalist for the Spider-Man role.
Could have been him, and I'm glad it didn't, because if it was, we wouldn't have gotten Sex Education. So
I still haven't watched that yet either.
It's good. It's a good show. It's a good show about sexuality, which is good in these modern times, just sort of really repression and a lot, which is really good just to watch nowadays. But anyway, I would say definitely watch it if you have Disney Plus, but it's definitely, if you see on TikTok, like, oh, we need to rent it, you're good. Just watch it on Disney Plus or bum it off someone who has Disney Plus.
There's a show I think I'm going to start again on HBO Max, about Titans Go, and made me look for it. You ever heard of a show called Falling Skies?
Is it with the doctor who was on ER for a period or something?
Yes. It's a show about aliens invading Earth and succeeding and basically living on Earth, and then humans are just living in squalor.
And it's on HBO Max?
Yeah, it was on TNT back in the day, but I guess they put it on HBO Most Max likely. Now.
Yeah.
So I think I might go back and give that a watch, because I remember watching a few episodes in like the second or third season. Like, this actually isn't that bad. This is pretty good.
All right. Well, maybe that's what we'll talk about next week. But Kevin, now we've talked about what we've been watching, it's time for the news.
It's time for the news. Hope this Wi-Fi stays stable. It's making me nervous.
You're good. You're good. You've probably been wondering, why is this podcast released 3 hours later? Or if you just listen later, you're like, it's still out. I don't know why you guys are talking about it. We had an embargo we had to go by because we have played Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the game, and my goodness, it is really good. And this is like, we've both played it. I played a lot more than Kevin have, but overall, like, this game, people are sleeping on, and it is worth your time, especially if you are a Marvel fan.
Like, I'm not sure how the Guardians were treated pre-movie, mm-hmm. as far as the comics goes, as far as the interaction between, you know, Star-Lord, Peter Quill, Drax, everybody like that. But this movie captures their essence in the movies. I mean, this game captures their interaction in the movies perfectly. Like, you'll just be on the ship, and they're yelling at each other, and I'm like, Rocket, come fix this refrigerator door! I'm doing a million other things! Like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Just like the dialogue alone between them, when you're not doing anything, it's worth buying the game.
Yeah. And so this is sort of our, like, first impression slash kind of a quasi-review, because neither of us have both beaten the game. Personally, I am in the game's final chapter. This is non-spoiler, but there's 16 chapters, just so you know how long it is. Been playing it for like a week and a half. Kevin, you're on chapter which one again?
I'm on chapter, in the middle of chapter 3. Okay, so I'm just starting.
Kevin's about, they're each about like hour long-ish. Some of them are a little longer on the chapters. But this game, like, wow. I like was like, oh yeah, this would be good, you know, play some Guardians. But the story, you know, the gameplay has been dope and fun and exciting, especially when you get new abilities for your characters, which Kevin, when you get to chapter 10 or around then, when you sort of lock that fourth ability, whoo, you're going to be cleaning up people.
Okay. I've got my first element in my gun. I got the freeze mm-hmm. ray. That's been life changing so far.
Yes. So pretty much I guess I'll just do what the game's about. We'll just share our opinions on it. And then I guess sort of, I don't, maybe not give it a score because we kind of watched the whole thing, but if it's worth your time or not, either get it, rent it or whatever. The game's about you're playing as Star-Lord. You get to control the Guardians, sort of kind of like we've kind of said in the past, like a Final Fantasy where you're like, oh, if I hit A, Rocket will do something. Y, Gamora, X and B, Groot and Drax. But it is the Guardians from the movies. It's dope because like we said, you can unlock the Guardians movie costumes for them. So if you really want to just like, we're going to do this MCU style right off the bat, you can. Really different compared to the Avengers game, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But essentially, you are tasked originally with rescuing a pet from a quarantine zone. And then typical Guardians fashion, shenanigans ensue. And it's a good time. And it's got a lot of just like MCU flair on it. But also like, hey, we're having our own thing. This is our own sort of version of everything.
And Nolan North is amazing as Rocket Raccoon.
I didn't know who the cast is. I don't think he is yet.
I looked it up. It said his name. It might know it, but it could have been the Telltale. I don't know. I'm not entirely
sure. I think
it
was that's the Telltale. Yeah.
Oh yeah. But whoever it is doing Rocket's voice, I didn't think they could give Bradley Cooper any justice. They nailed it. They 100% nailed it.
Let's see. The voice actors who I got right here. Oh, is it doing that spoiler thing where it wants to be? Oh, here you go. Is that from that might be from the game. I don't know. We don't know who the cast is until we play through the whole game, but the voices of the cast, like, really good. Like, and I'll go for the vibe of this game is such Guardians from the theme that's original for the game. That like, you're just like, oh, this is epic. Like, they're teaming up. You hear the theme throughout the game. Obviously, you hear tons of 80s music because it kind of made Star-Lord a little younger than he would be in the movies. But everywhere you go, like, man, this is how I want Guardians to be. And we've kind of said it's like that Mass Effect meets Final Fantasy vibes for gameplay and everything.
And like you said, like, the music in Guardians, the movie, is like 70s pop. Mm-hmm. Like, late, this is more 80s, like, rock and 80s pop. Mm-hmm. And, like, you can literally go to the radio in the ship and turn on Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. Like, it's so cool.
And the cool thing is, like, with the music or any actions you do, whether you're exploring for like side things for costumes or like you're just looking at collectibles you get through the game, the characters will react to that. So like if you hit, like, the music won't be on immediately when you get back to the Milano. You turn it on, everyone's like, oh, we picked this song, what a convenient song right now to get away from blah de blah.
And we saw in the gameplay trailer, I think right after E3, right before, maybe during E3, how there's branching conversation options. Mm-hmm. This is a tiny spoiler, and I'm going to say it because it's hilarious.
Don't say the character's
name. Nothing about the story.
Yeah.
Nothing about the story. Just something you can do with that. So at some point when you're crossing this planet, there's a long chasm that you need to get around. Now, you can do one of two things at this moment. You can just instruct your team at Star-Lord, hey, let's find another way around this chasm. Or you can instruct Drax to throw a rocket. Uh-huh. And Drax just chucks a rocket. And for the rest of the mission, Rocket does not like you.
And so, Kevin, I'm assuming you chucked Rocket.
I chucked Rocket.
Well, see, I didn't chuck Rocket. And immediately, as soon as you say no on that decision, it turns to your left and shows you the way you could have gone around the bridge. And I was like, oh, good thing I didn't. But like Kevin said, there are like, they're not, I mean, who knows? But where I'm at in the game, the decisions I made earlier in the game are paying off at the end.
Okay.
Good and bad. Could hinder you, it could help you. That's up to you on your decisions.
And let you know, like through the mission, there's like Rocket is still upset with you that you threw him. Uh-huh. Or if you say if it's one way to do things, you want to do option A, option B, pick option B, it will say the team agrees with you and they think that was a good decision. So it kind of lets you know how your team thinks of you during all these decisions. It's really cool. I think for a Square Enix game, that's pretty good. You know, because it's not an RPG all the way. It's not an action RPG, but more action. But it still kind of have those RPG elements.
Yeah. And like, and the cool thing is, Kevin, where you are, you get to fly the Milano in a couple of missions. No. Have you flown it yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I've flown it because we had to escape from
something.
Where were we escaping?
Escape
somewhere.
Yeah,
it's Guardians.
It's not a lot of flying, but when you do, it's pretty dope just to like break up the change of gameplay. I know a lot of people are like, oh, you got to have Milano. That's like the sixth character of the Guardians. And it's cool because the Milano kind of changes throughout the game as well.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. And then also, it kind of goes back to, like you said, the MCU feels throughout the game. Rocket will say, leave my ship alone. And Peter says, no, it's my ship. Like, they're still going back and forth for total control.
I want to say this because I thought it was real fun. This was the first inclusion of a Star Wars property inside a Marvel, like, video game, at least, because there's the Chewbacca action figure. And that Chewbacca action figure is with you, like, most of the game. I was like, this is so dope to see, like, this toy that my grandparents have from my, like, uncle back in the day. I'm like, it's right there. I see it. It's so dope in video game form to see.
And even the way they tell the story, how it kind of goes back and forth between the past before Peter left Earth and then the present, what's going on right now. It's really done really well. Like, this might be like one of those hidden gems of the holiday season video game releases, I think.
Yeah. And it's funny, speaking of that, like, it does have like sort of like, you'll go into this game thinking, oh, everything's sort of based on the MCU version is. Even up to where I am, they do put changes on that, which is good because they got to make it their own to make it less predictable. Because like I won't say that, but certain characters aren't like related to characters how they are in the MCU. That is the best way I could non-spoiler do that. That was perfect.
Even with one of the characters in the Guardians, there's a stark difference between the MCU because somebody's not there and nobody's running from them. Mm-hmm. They're gone.
Yeah.
So I'll say it like that.
Yes, that's probably the best non-spoiler way we can do it. But yeah, like Kevin said, like, this is a hidden gem, like, because if you've kind of been looking, like, no one's really talked a lot about the Guardians game up till like obviously now because the game's out tomorrow as of this podcast recording. But I had a blast. Kevin, you've had a blast, I'm assuming, so far.
I am counting down the minutes to when we're done recording that. Go in. All right, play some more.
We got like 30-ish minutes. Okay, you can hold your horses on that one.
I'm fine. I'm just saying. I'm really excited.
But yeah, I would definitely say, if you have the money, buy it. Definitely, if not, get it for the holidays. Well, then if it's on sale, it's definitely 100% a buy. And I know there's pre-order bonuses, kind of just costumes. There's a deluxe edition as well. But, you know, it is great. And thanks to Square Enix for letting us talk about this game because it's been a blast.
How's it play on Series X? I'm still playing on Xbox One.
It's pretty dope. Obviously, like, I can't compare because I haven't seen it on a normal Xbox. But it looks great. I mean, I love that, like, the Guardians sort of, like, even if you want to customize them a little bit, you can sort of see. It's still the same body. So, like, if you change Drax to how he looks like in the movies, it's still Drax's in-game body, but with the Drax sort of movie body paint. But it's like, man, this is so dope. I get to control Batista doing all these things.
It's even cool. They have Drax's, like, comic book costume in there, too, like with the cape.
Yeah, all the characters' comic book costumes, which is dope.
And then also, I know we're talking about a lot, even, like, the lore of the game, like, it's done basically, like, Destiny style, where, like, everything has a name, has a backstory.
A journal page. Like, because there's a thing. There's a journal, which is like Star-Lord's written perspective on the game of events. And then there's actually, like, I call it a codex where you can see detailed things on Gamora. I was going to say a spoiler thing, but I didn't. So good. Or planets you go to, stuff like that.
And even you'll find like trinkets through the game that you'll bring back to the ship. And then once you touch them again, if it's a trinket that like reminds Rocket of something that he went through, he'll tell you the whole story. You can talk to him and get more backstory. Like, it's real. It's done so well. It makes me wonder what executive forced Marvel's Avengers to do a loot shooter type game.
Yes.
Because I feel like if they stayed like this, it'd have been just as good. Mm-hmm. And it'd been a lot more story to tell.
And this is probably a good point to talk about this. Not like Marvel's Avengers at all. Like you've been hearing how we've been talking about it, but this is definitely what Kevin and I kind of wanted Marvel's Avengers to be more like, where it is, you know, lore and all this fun stuff, you know, kind of like your Marvel Spider-Man games, which we had on Insomniac do. This is like definitely, hey, let's do Spider-Man sort of how the gameplay is, but like space it up, make a Guardians version.
Also reminds me a little bit of Marvel Ultimate Alliance back in the day, mm-hmm. how it was just like a squad based beat 'em up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Only difference is you can't switch between characters, but that's like the only difference.
But I think it's good because, like, I think if you kept switching it, you would just, like, okay, who am I? What are my abilities? Okay, the other three players have changed as well. Whereas this, like, I have go-to moves on every character. Like, I know I'm like, all right, Rocket or Groot, you're going to hold people in position. Then everyone else is going to beat up on whoever's held in position.
It is pretty cool, too. Every time you get into a battle, Rocket jumps on top of Groot. And it's just pretty cool to see it.
And it's cool, like, the collectibles, too. With that, there's, like, Kevin said, the story, but also there's a lot more collectibles than you think in this game. And as of right now, who knows? But I think you're going to have to, there's going to be like a new game plus mode. And if you want to get everything, go back in there. But there is sort of a cool thing that you don't have to play the whole game entirely. They just have chapters. So if you're like missing, I don't know if I am or anything, like one collectible from chapter 5, I can go back, just play chapter 5, get it. And then I think it cumulatively connects, I guess.
Well, I will say, I also wonder, talking about the gameplay again, the beginning of the game reminds me a lot of the beginning of Avengers A-Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's any synergy with that.
Kev, there's a moment in this game. I'm excited when you get to it because...
Oh my gosh, don't tease me like that. I'm playing all night, man.
And that could be literally any moment in this game. There's a lot of those moments. But this moment, I literally was like, oh, you know, I like talked to Moore and I heard something. I was like, oh, Moore, shut up. I got to... Not to be mean to my girlfriend or anything, but I was like, I got to watch this real quick.
Moore, quiet. Hold on.
Push.
But like, even I was playing yesterday, my daughter was laughing at it. Like, what was that raccoon doing? He has a gun? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So like, oh, time to show Guardians of the Galaxy to my daughter. Here we go.
There we go. And you're going to get to this version. But yeah, I would say play it for sure, no matter how you can play it.
I definitely would play it. I wouldn't. This is not a wait for Games Pass game. Mm-hmm. Go out and get this, man. Like, this is really good. It'll definitely hold you over. Because, I mean, it's probably about 50 hours long, I would say.
I would say it's closer to 30-ish. Hours, obviously. I've been playing it for about a week and I've been playing about 2 hours. Yeah, I've probably been playing like this past week just on the couch playing like at least 2 hours a day of the game. And where I'm at now, probably it's like 30, 32 ish hours without having all the collectibles just yet. So,
and I'm hoping that we get some more story. Like, oh, I know DLC is a bad word, but like, I will pay for more story if this is
good. They haven't said anything on that yet. And obviously, the game hasn't come out as of this podcast recording. But if they were, there's some cool things I think that'd be cool to do as DLC.
Like, this is one, like, I don't seek out game reviews or movie reviews like I used to, but I'll be looking at Kind of Funny all week. Like, they're supposed to review it. I didn't even know what they know about this game because this game is amazing.
And it is exciting. Like, this is Kevin and I, usually we wait until other people do the reviews to talk about our reviews because we don't want to be like super out left field. But this, I wholeheartedly, if this game gets weird reviews from other places, trust us, because we had a blast and we are literally you right now thinking about the game. Like, I just want to have a good time with these characters, and that's what this game's all about.
And before we stop talking about it, they have this thing on there called the huddle, basically, where, and it's really cool. So you can be, once you stack up a bunch of kills, you can hit the bumper buttons, either L1, R1, or life button, right button, depending on where you're playing. And the team will huddle up and they'll tell you like what's going on with the fight. And depending on how you hear what they say, how you respond to your team, either you get a buff or everybody gets a buff. And then after you get the buff, some 80s power ballad will start blasting as you're fighting, and it's just amazing.
Yeah. I have not unsuccessfully used the huddle. I think every time I've used it, it's been successful. But I think if you pay attention, you're like, all right, I know what's the right option I want to use.
I'm like 3 for 6.
Oh, okay. So Kevin's not been paying attention, obviously.
Well, also, I have a 4-year-old talking to my ear when I'm playing at the same time, too. So,
But the game's out tomorrow as of this podcast recording on Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, and PC. And obviously all the upgraded versions of that. So play it. But now, to continue on, Kevin, do some other video game news.
So that's a great Switch game, by the way.
It's a good time overall.
Yeah.
But something else that is also coming to the Switch and also other consoles, Grand Theft Auto the Remastered Trilogy, November 11th, has a release date, has a trailer. it looks dope as hell.
It looks dope. The one thing that made me really excited about it is that it's getting GTA 5 inspired controls. I was like, oh, that's great, because going back and playing those games is hard.
Especially driving controls, which is the best
part. Oh my gosh. Basically, one of the, does that mean it's going to be cover-based shooting too?
I don't know. And that's the weird thing. Like, judge me as you will. I mean, that's sort of just the day and age we're on now. I never played Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I mean, obviously, not the other two, but my older cousins are like 8 years older than me played it when I was like eight and they were 16. That was the cool thing to do. And I was like, oh, this is going to be dope. Now I'm a lot older than they were back in the day and can play the game in dope looking graphics.
Yeah, because there are more details to the faces.
Mm-hmm.
They have fingers now and not just weird hands that go like, well, you can't see me, but hoodie sees me what I'm doing with my hand.
Lego C cups, you know?
My question for you is, are you going to play this game in chronological order or just play it in release order?
Well, yeah, so that's the interesting thing. So the trilogy digitally is coming out November 11th, then physically comes out December 7th. There's interesting thing is where Game Pass gets San Andreas remastered for free. PlayStation Now, I believe, gets Grand Theft Auto 3 for free. I guess as long as you have the subscriptions. Vice City, that's the one you need the game for to do. Oh, sorry. What was the question? Because I was leading there. And
I'm sorry. It's cool. I was just wondering, are you going to play it in chronological order, meaning you have to play Vice City, then San Andreas, then Grand Theft Auto 3?
I think wouldn't it be 3, then Vice City and San Andreas? Then, obviously, 4 would come after.
That's release order, but as far as the storyline of the games go, that's the way it would go. It would go Vice City first, then Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, then Grand Theft Auto 3.
I don't know, because I feel...
Yeah, that's blew your mind.
That's the other thing, because, like, they're leveling them all up to be even. I think San Andreas is getting the less amount of work on it, obviously, out of all the three. I feel like Vice City would be the first one I would play, just because I've heard so much about Vice City. And just, like, I guess Kenny Loggins, like, Danger Zone was in that game or something, and that was, like, iconic.
And then I think the first car you steal in Vice City, they're playing Billie Jean, Michael Jackson. So you get right into that 80s flavor. Like, it's crazy.
That's an interesting conundrum of this remaster is, will the music come back? Because they have it licensed again, like how they did 15 years ago as of now.
That's a good point. I actually didn't think about that because when you buy a license for a song, is it in perpetuity or is it just until, you know what I mean?
Well, because that's a lot with a lot of games why they delist on stores is a little fun fact. You can, especially with like the Forza games, a lot of driving games. I think even Grand Theft Auto 4, I think they have to delist just because the music rights. So like they don't have, whereas Grand Theft Auto 5, like they keep adding music and everything, because you would assume eventually Grand Theft Auto 5 is going to lose the rights to, you know, Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears playing. Actually, that'll be the Britney Spears. That's a different conundrum and everything on Grand Theft Auto 5. But yeah.
That's been sad too, because I actually want to replay Grand Theft Auto 4, but my discs don't read, my 360 discs don't read my Xbox One anymore. I don't know why. So, and I can't download it anywhere.
That's the other thing. I mean, if these got remastered, you would assume, I mean, 4 has been on enough consoles, but not now. I mean, even Xbox One, it wasn't been on that. You were just getting backwards compatibility. So,
I know there's a station, I think it was called Lips 106 on Grand Theft Auto 3 that basically played the soundtrack from Scarface.
Ooh.
Yeah, it played every song that was played in Scarface. Like, but this is very exciting. Like I said, I'm happy for the Grand Theft Auto 5 inspired controls. I can't wait to see everything in more detail, because there are a lot of times at the time they had great graphics, but looking back at it now, it was basically just a face with a few dots on it. Like, it wasn't like anything that we could really see.
Yeah.
And then also going back to San Andreas, because that game was so huge, but Grand Theft Auto 4 and Grand Theft Auto 5, with only based in one city, are bigger than Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I want to know if that scale still feels as big as it did back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, you started off in Los Santos, then you're in the wilderness, then you go to San Fierro, which is San Francisco, then you go to Las Venturas. Like, you go all over the Californian Rockstar map. So I'm just very curious if it still feels as big as it did back in, what was that, 2005, 2004?
Yeah, yeah. So that's coming out. It's dope. It's literally like 2 weeks from now. It's going to be $60, but it looks well worth the remastered $60 amount.
Yeah.
Compared to some remasters we've seen that are full retail, looking at you, Nintendo, and not really getting it a lot with it. But this looks like it's got some TLC in it, and hopefully it'll quell people until we get Grand Theft Auto 6 eventually. You assume it's coming if this came out already, too.
We will be in our retirement homes when they announce Grand Theft Auto 6.
Exactly. And that's the funny thing is GTA 5 will be released again, probably before I turn 30.
You're not wrong. That's why it's
I'm
funny.
I'm not wrong. But something that could be right, could be wrong, who knows? It's kind of really a rumor, but it's a big rumor right now, is that Mark Ruffalo might be getting finally his solo Hulk film. And it could be based on the popular comic book. It's had a movie too, World War Hulk.
Yeah. Usually when we talk about these kind of rumors, I'm always Mr. Brightside, quote song.
You used to
I
be.
I don't believe this at
you
all.
You used to be until like DC and Marvel kind of changed. And you're like, I believe it when I see it.
They killed my soul.
Yeah.
But I don't believe this for a second. And not even because of that Universal owns the rights to any solo movie for the Hulk. Well, not own the rights. Basically, if Disney makes a Hulk movie, Universal has to distribute it so they'll get none of the money.
Uh-huh.
I just don't believe it from a storyline set because unless he does something really bad coming up in these next slate of movies, I don't understand why they would send Hulk off planet.
So, Kevin, you know about World War Hulk storyline at least?
Yeah, basically what happens is Hulk hulks out like he does, and the Illuminati in the comic books, which is, I can't remember everybody, but it's Namor, Professor X, Mr. Fantastic, Iron Man, Black Panther, and I think I'm forgetting Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Captain America was in it, but they gave him basically like a mind control spell so he can forget that he actually did this and he doesn't know about it. It's crazy. They sent him off world because he's too dangerous, and they sent him to this planet called, I think it was called Sakaar, actually, which is where they got it from for Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And on this warrior planet, and he kind of gets into this, I guess, basically a warrior, kind of like Gladiator, basically, but ends up overthrowing the government on the planet and becoming basically the emperor of the planet, has a baby with a local, so things are going great. But he didn't know that there was a bomb on his ship. Bomb goes off, kills his entire family. Hulk's pissed, comes back to Earth, and basically wrecks shop with all the Marvel heroes. Like, nobody could stop him. Not the most powerful mutants, Professor X, Iron Man, name a hero, Hulk beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I kind of knew about it, but not a lot. But just hearing you talk about it, this rumor seems a little weird, just how the MCU is right now with Hulk. You know, if it was kind of where he was in Thor Ragnarok, I would say maybe. But now where Hulk is sort of, you know, we have Smart Hulk and obviously Professor Hulk. Obviously, we have the She-Hulk show coming up in a little bit. It's just a big rumor that I was like, you know, we talk about it. You know, will Hulk finally get his own standalone film? Because, I mean, look, even Hawkeye got a series. Black Widow's got her movie. Point. Hulk ain't got, well, technically, if you include the Hulk movie with Edward
Which isn't
Norton,
that bad.
It's all right. But it's not the true Hulk movie that counts, really.
And can we spoil a Shang-Chi post-credit?
No. I'll say we wait till it's on Disney Plus. We'll wait till it's
okay,
on
we'll
Disney
wait.
Plus. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's my other question about it. But like, well, you know, there's that. So how will he, why would
well,
they
that? That was supposed to, I think it's supposed to be addressed in She-Hulk. So we'll see.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So and She-Hulk supposed to be next year, right?
Yes, supposed to be. We'll find out Disney Plus day, same day. Shang-Chi comes out. Might be relevant why they're both on the same day.
Bum, bum.
But it is interesting, just a like friendly reminder. It's kind of just an interesting topic to talk about, is that Universal still has the rights to Hulk. The last movie they did was 2008's Incredible Hulk. And kind of like how Netflix was with Daredevil, you know, Punisher, Kingpin, they lost the rights after a while. But Universal, it's been a while. So we could be finally reaching that point where they can't do anything / don't want to do anything. And Disney finally buys it off of them. And there is an early release date. Extended from Marvel's release dates we talked about last month or last week. So I'm just saying, could fit in there.
It will be interesting if they do make a World War Hulk movie, but it's not Hulk. It's Thunderbolt Ross's Red Hulk. Now that would be really interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Something, Kevin, that's not a rumor, thought it was a rumor, but it has been confirmed since then. Came out on Friday night. Hayden Christensen, it is the return and redo. Because he will be in Disney Plus's Ahsoka series.
First of all, for me, for this news, it's been such a dense, I guess, nerdy news cycle over the past few months. I forgot they were doing an Ahsoka show.
Yeah. I think a lot of people did, because we're kind of focusing on, you know, we got the Obi-Wan show, we got the Boba Fett show, where you okay, and then once Disney Plus Day happens, we'll be reminded of everything coming out soon. But it's just like, damn, we got that too.
Now, does this mean he's going to be Anakin in this, or is he just going to be in the suit?
So, I don't know. It's interesting, which is what we're going to talk about. But The Hollywood Reporter, so this is by credible sources, and IGN and Polygon have all said this, says that Lucasfilm and Disney Plus have confirmed Christensen will return as Anakin Skywalker in the Ahsoka Tano series starring Rosario Dawson. Interesting. We already knew he's coming back for the Obi-Wan, the Kenobi show, however they're going to call it right now still, which we'll find out probably Disney Plus Day as well. Which made sense. All right, cool. He's going to be Vader. There's going to be some little flashback scenes or something like that with him. This one's a little interesting because Ahsoka takes place during Mandalorian time frame. So it's not like, it's not like young Ahsoka growing up to like Rebels and then to Mandalorian time frame. So it's some time after. So he's going to be a Force ghost most likely. And it's finally going to pay off at the end of Return of the Jedi when they switched Anakin's Force ghost to be Hayden Christensen. It's going to pay off now.
That would make sense. I love that the Family Guy spoof on Return of the Jedi and just goes, and I'm Hayden Christensen.
Exactly.
But that's, I think that's a good take on it. That it's going to, if it happens after during Mandalorian, then Darth Vader's dead, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be actually very interesting to see a Force ghost Anakin Skywalker guiding Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And we kind of saw Ahsoka, I don't think she's on the dark side, but she ain't light.
She's a great Jedi.
So yeah. So maybe that could be basically what he's doing, trying to keep her from going down the path that he did and keep her from all that pain.
Yeah. And I think like the coolest thing about it really is that Hayden Christensen is like, he was so hated at the end of, you know, Revenge of the Sith to now. And now it is just a resurgence of just like, we got him back. We are doing him well again this time. And, you know, Dave Filoni is behind him getting back introduced to everything. It is really cool because I think he had a lot of, you know, issues of just dealing with all that hate. I mean, a lot of Star Wars and Marvel, you get a lot of that. And just to see now, like, you know, you take a step back and then come back when the time is right and people are here for you still.
Yeah, the best thing that happened for Hayden Christensen.
Oh, we lost Kevin again, but that's okay. Because I'm going
to was the Clone Wars series because you got to
Kevin,
see.
Kevin, hold
basically,
on.
It wasn't just like.
Kevin, hold on. Kevin, hold on. We lost you there for a second. And then when you reconnect on Discord when we're recording on, it speeds up everything I missed out on Kevin. So, Kevin, take it back from the one. Let's go.
Exactly. From the one, I was like, the best thing that happened for Anakin Skywalker and Hayden Christensen was the Clone Wars series. Because
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people's complaint about it at the time when they were being released was we see him being the good guy in Attack of the Clones, and then suddenly he's bad. Like, what happened? Then the Clone Wars series happened. He's like, oh, this guy never was really fully good.
Yeah.
he always has that kind of itch of the dark side scratching at him. You really sold me on that Force Ghost thing, man. I can't stop thinking about it now.
I mean, it writes itself, and then, I mean, just think about how we kind of think, look at Dave Filoni's job is really to fix all the damn mess-ups the movies have done, and he's going to do it again. With freaking the Force Ghost Anakin in special edition of Star Wars from the 90s or 2000s.
I feel like right now, Disney's hidden weapon is Star Wars and no one really realizes it.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Some people would say, like, you know, they knew more of Star Wars because compared to Marvel. But we're going to get that in like the next year and a half, though. So
there's so much Star Wars that has been announced that we haven't even seen the fruition of, like, that's the show that Patty Jenkins is doing.
A Rogue Squadron movie. It's going to be a movie.
Yeah. And then whatever they're doing with the show that, what was it called, Rise of the Resistance?
The Andor show?
The Andor show and the show that the lady was fired from that she wasn't going to do anymore. But
I don't know. There's also a Sith Acolyte show, which is happening too. And I'm just like, that's why I'm like, I don't know which show you're talking about.
And then Obi-Wan is, I mean, what is that, spring, you think, next year?
I'm hoping. I mean, because we get Book of Boba Fett in December. You're assuming Mandalorian season 3 next December. I'm assuming Obi-Wan sort of springish, Andor in the summer, and then Mandalorian fall.
Yeah, I just feel like at some point people are going to realize, even though you may have not liked the prequels or the newquels, it all fits together really well.
Oh, I know. You're talking about Rangers of the New Republic. That's which one you're
talking about. That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
I had to go through every show in my name first, in my head first, before I knew which one it was.
Yeah, but I'm really excited for the future of Star Wars. Like, I can't wait, hopefully, if she's a nerd, to go back and watch all this with my daughter, with Leah. Oh, and be like, look, even I didn't have this when I was a kid. I had to wait 20 years.
Even if she's not. Like, I had to watch Droids, the cartoon show, which was shit. But you know what? It's all we had, so we watched it.
I watched Revenge of the Sith, and then had to wait 5 years for Clone Wars to explain it all.
Mm-hmm. I had the Tartakovsky's Clone Wars, too, in between, and that was great. And then it was only two seasons, and it was like 5 minutes each episode.
What a five minutes.
But yeah, so that's coming. I'm excited. I think that gives, I mean, because we assume the Ahsoka series, from what we've heard and rumored, obviously Thrawn, we kind of was teased in Mandalorian, and we were assuming Ezra Bridger is going to be in that as well, and that'll connect eventually to the big payoff of whatever the Mandalorian verse is, Mandalorian era, I guess, of all these plot points, sort of.
There's no, even saying it out loud is stupid. There's no chance they use that World Within Worlds thing to kind of separate.
Oh, you're talking from Rebels?
Yeah, from Rebels, yeah. That they separate everything that happened with Rey and the Resistance, and then with everything else from the Phantom Menace on towards Rebels. There's no way to do that, right?
No, they won't do that. I think that was definitely Dave Filoni trying to be like a little metaverse on everything and sort of like, it's all connected. I don't think they'll go back to that ever again. Just because it also it's really probably hard to do live action wise versus animation wise with Rebels. But it did do a heck of a retcon on Rebels season 2 and then coming back on something to bring Ahsoka back.
It really did. I'm really excited for Ahsoka again now. Like it was gone out of my brain that it was a thing and that was back. And I'm really
gonna
excited.
Go watch Mando season 2 now. I was probably going to do that anyway, right before Boba Fett came out. So
why can't we watch all the Mandos in a row now? I should do that.
There you go. But yeah. Kevin, before we get to the Halloween bracket, quick discussion. Uncharted, the trailer came out last week. I thought it was okay. It was all right.
It actually motivated me to go and play the games because I actually bought these for all the games for like $10 last year during Black Friday.
Yeah, you did.
Just sitting on my PS4 hard drive, not doing anything. Just sitting there.
So you have all the Nathan Drake collection, right?
Nathan Drake collection plus that DLC they did with the lady. I can't remember.
Oh, Lost Legacy? You have that separate version of a game too?
Yeah. So they're just sitting there. So I didn't even open the game. Like, I haven't gotten the start screen.
Well, Kevin, now you have until, when was the release date for this one? I think it was February, right, for this?
Yeah, February 18th, 2022.
There you go. You have until then to beat all those games. It came out, a lot of people, you know, Tom Holland looking like a babyface, and it's Spider-Man in adventure clothes. And obviously Mark Wahlberg needs a mustache, be a little bit older. But you know what? It looks like a greatest hit of some of the game scenes, which I've seen in trailers and just people talking about the games. But it'll be a good popcorn movie that you don't really need to, you know, go in with thoughts. Just, you know, just enjoy it and come out and have a good day.
Well, it looks like to me like National Treasure with more action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for that. Mark Wahlberg, people say he can't act. I enjoy Mark Wahlberg. I think he's hilarious, personally. And I haven't really seen Tom Holland in anything other than Spider-Man and that movie on Netflix that he was in with Sebastian Stan. So I'm kind of excited to see him in something else, too.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I mean, Kevin, you saw the newer Tomb Raider movie, right? Oh, we lost Kevin again. Oh, Kevin, you're going to pause a little bit. We lost you for a second, and that's okay. You're going to hopefully come back, and if not, I'm going to tell you about Halloween movies. Kevin, you still there?
I'm still here now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, did you see the Tomb Raider movie that came out a couple years ago?
That was the one. Yeah, I did not see that one. No. I heard it wasn't that bad, though.
Yeah, like this trailer is definitely giving me vibes of that. And obviously, it's Sony, so you would hope it's a little bit better. I mean, Sony's giving us Jumanji. You got those movies. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be better than the Tomb Raider movie. But who knows what will happen with this? Because if they're obviously mixing a lot of big game moments in this trailer for what's supposed to be like the first movie, but they're doing Uncharted 3 stuff in it, we'll see what happens.
Well, that whole like end trailer sequence with him like on the cargo, that was 100% Uncharted sequence.
Yeah, it's from Uncharted 3. So like it's going to be interesting to see like, all right, we're doing the big moments from that, but what big moments do you have left if you've done those already?
I'm going to say, I thought that Sony did Tomb Raider as well, but that was Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know what? It's out. It's worth a shot. You know, you've got nothing out to watch in February, which I don't remember off the top of my head. You got something to watch now.
Yeah, February is usually where movies go to kind of be tested. So this will be another test.
There you go. But not speaking of tests, but something that is factual and true, because you've been voting on it. And it's by you, the people, Kevin.
People.
Is our Halloween bracket. We're finally down to our fearsome four of the greatest Halloween movie ever bracket challenge. And a little movie that could. It's still in there, baby. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think I wrote this movie off last week. Like, this movie ain't going to make it. This will be the last. I think I actually said this will be the last week we see this movie. And I was wrong.
Yes. So I guess I'll do the scary ones. Kev, you do the family-friendly ones just so we'll recap and where we're at. So we had Halloween take on Nightmare on Elm Street. And Halloween prevailed, the namesake movie for the greatest Halloween movie ever bracket. Still in it. It's moved on to, I guess, the semifinals of this bracket, the Fearsome Four, the scary finals, I guess you could say.
Yes. I think it's right.
I don't know. Sure. So it's dope. I'm glad I've made it. But something that got even more interesting, it took on Get Out and the little social thriller movie that could beat a scary clown, because Get Out is now taking on Halloween.
believe Get Out lost on Instagram, but won on Twitter. I guess it averaged out for Get Out.
Because that's the thing. We take Instagram and Twitter, and then we just sort of mash them together, averages and votes and everything. Get Out dominated it on Twitter, and it barely lost on Instagram. So that's what happened. So Get Out made it. And if you're mad about it, you blame yourself for not getting your friends to vote more.
Vote the vote, man. We told you the whole time.
Exactly.
Your voice matters.
But yeah, I mean, this is a good matchup. I mean, you can't fault Get Out. I mean, I think also recency bias. It is definitely one that is a classic for a while. Is a modern classic, you could say. Kev, you think you froze again. Are you okay? Okay, he froze again. That's all right. But I don't think it's gonna tackle Halloween just yet. So I think this is probably where we say farewell to Get Out. I don't think it's making it to the finals.
I'm not saying it. Last week I said it and I was wrong. So I'm all for it now. I might call some people. Hey, you need to vote.
You need to vote. But Kevin, what happened on the family friendly side?
On the family friendly side, Hocus Pocus went up against Nightmare Before Christmas, and Nightmare Before Christmas went to sleep because Hocus Pocus won.
It put a spell on Nightmare Before Christmas.
It did. Double toil and trouble, bubble boil
amok.
Something.
It ran amok on it. There you go.
And then on the other hand, we had Halloween Town versus Beetlejuice, and Halloween Town prevailed again.
Yeah, I'm
Hoodies
sure
is one
did.
Step closer to his wish.
My wish is so true, unless this Get Out virality ruins it. But I mean, look, look at it. Those two movies on the family friendly side are the two most iconic Halloween movies, you could say, over the horror movies, you could say.
We watched Halloween Town the other night.
And you're going to watch Hocus Pocus.
I was trying to get Leah to watch it. She was not interested.
Yeah, you're going to watch Hocus Pocus at least once before Sunday. So
exactly. Did they do a sequel to that recently?
They're doing a sequel. It's supposed to come out.
Okay.
Well, they said next year, but maybe Disney Plus might give us an answer on if it's actually coming out or not. Because you would assume, because that's a little fun history about Hocus Pocus, is that it actually released in the summer before Halloween. And it did poop numbers, but it didn't get big until VHS. And then obviously Freeform made it big.
I think Christmas Vacation was like that, too. I think when that was released, it wasn't as huge as it was. And then after the years go by, it's become a Christmas staple.
Yeah. So we have a DCOM, Halloween Town, which some would say is the greatest DCOM of all time.
I'm still partial to Xenon Girl the 21st Century, but I'm willing to hear arguments.
You have a DCOM taking on probably the most iconic Freeform movie of Hocus Pocus, taking on the most iconic AMC horror, well, eventually the winner either between the most iconic AMC horror movie and then the most iconic, I guess, Jordan Peele, you can see
Peele's coming out party.
Streaming service movie, because I think it's on HBO Max as of right now.
Actually, didn't Get Out win an Oscar?
Yes, so I think it's the only one that's won an Oscar. Actually, I think Halloween won an Oscar, too. Halloween movie.
That'd be cool. We had two Oscar-winning movies in the final four.
Let me see.
Unintentionally.
Halloween 19.
It probably may have won for like special effects, something like that back in those days.
Let's see here. Accolades. Here we go. No, it has not won an Oscar. Oh. It is, though, in the American Film Institute and in Library of Congress's National Film Registry.
Oh, that's good. So it has that going for it. Cool.
Yes, that's it. But yeah, it was ahead of its time. So it's definitely like getting nominated for Oscars back in the day when now we're finally getting superhero movies nominated in Oscars.
That's crazy. I just realized that an Oscar nominated movie has made it to the final four. Yes. That almost sounds like correct. Like that's the way it should be.
I think it is the only Oscar nominated movie out of all these. Well, at least on the scary movie side.
Yeah, I don't think Zombieland won any Oscars.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, so Kevin, who do you got moving on? Who do you want in the final two?
Well, the Hocus Pocus Halloween Town matchup is going to be like 50-50, I guarantee you.
Oh, it will. And then one person votes, and then someone's going to be unhappy on that one.
So if it's 50-50, who's going to be the tiebreaker? Like, who should we go to?
Oh, like, what do you mean?
Like, should we, like, go to, like, I don't know, Eric or John, somebody? They have to decide.
Well, Eric hasn't seen either of them, so we'll go to intern John if we need a tiebreaker.
That's a good point. He probably hasn't seen any of them.
There you go. So you, all right, you got a toss-up for those two. What about the other side?
I think Get Out will put out a strong resistance, but Halloween might take it in the end.
Kevin just likes love making sentences longer by saying the loser first instead of the winner.
That's how you do it, like in sports
it's
world.
They got to
start out with the thing and
Art
then
the
draw it out.
Yeah, I think you're right. Halloween is going to move on. It's not up to us, though. It's up to you, the people. You have today, as of this podcast recording, around 12 o'clock when it comes out, until Wednesday around 5 p.m. ish, just so we can calculate the scores for Thursday's episode. Determine who is the final two on Instagram or Twitter at @infinite_pods. Keep it, bookmark it, friend us, DM us. Question of the week is, who's your favorite Guardians of the Galaxy character?
You know what? I don't know who mine is.
So DM us who it is. Maybe give a little sentence or two on either Twitter or Instagram. If you do, we'll send you, obviously, a Crisis Crew bracelet. But maybe a little surprise that we found with the game. And you'll have to find out about that if you DM us at @infinite_pods. Or Kevin, where can they go to stay up to date on all of the Halloween bracket?
99.5.com/CrisisCrew. Boo!
And Kevin, final thoughts before we peace on out of here.
Just thinking, hoping that I have some more of my dinner that I made the other day left over, because sometimes when I leave leftovers, people in my house eat them without telling me. Well, and it makes me sad.
It's kind of the rule unless you label it. You know, it's not yours unless you label it, or unless you're the only meat eater in your family, like how it is in my house.
Well, you know, it's just like I'm the only guy in my house, so I feel like, you know, can I have something? Can I have something, please?
You need to label it, Kevin, because that's what happened when you decided to have a family. So.
And living with my sister, too. Yeah. There's a whole full house thing going on in my house.
It's okay. You just need to make a theme song. That's your homework for next week. Make a theme song for your family. Oh, we paused. We lost to Kevin again. Kevin,
I'm back again.
There you go. Right before, we had one more pause. Kevin, you got to work on a theme song for your family.
I actually partially did one. I was never rendered it. I need to go render that.
Ooh, an uncopywritten version of a song. Can't wait. We'll say copywritten, patent pending for that song next week.
Patent pending.
But anyway, have a great week. Remember, get your Halloween costume, because you can't return them now, but you probably want to get it if you're going out somewhere this weekend.
If you don't know what to go through at this point, just go as procrastination, because you've been procrastinating the entire
time.
Just
go look at a BuzzFeed list. BuzzFeed will tell you, probably. Anyway, have a great week. We will talk to you on Thursday with the finals of our Halloween bracket, giving you an update on our thoughts on the Guardians movie. So much more. But as always, my name's Hoodie.
And I'm Kevin.
And you've officially listened to this Monday scary episode. What, Kev?
Crisis
on
Infinite
Podcast.
Crisis Crew.